Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.org. TourStaffordVA.org to give you all the information on upcoming events. We are talking this morning about historic Kenmore and in Ferry Farm. Emma Withers here. Megan Buttinger is here. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
These are exciting times. We've been saying it over at Ferry Farm for a while, but now the house is open.
It is open. It is done. It is open. The furniture is coming in. It's looking great over there. And now that the rain's done, hopefully for a little while, it's a very pleasant place to visit.
We all saw the river from the city dock side. What did it look like from the Ferry Farm side?
Ooh, it was up.
It was up.
Yeah, we closed the trails. We had to close the trails. But it was up. But, you know, it's interesting. So all that rain on Sunday, we gave three tours anyway. People came in the rain, walked out to the house, and did tours. So, I mean, we're beginning to see the excitement in almost every tour. We're doing almost every tour now.
Because, boy, and on Sunday, you had to get out of your car and walk in, and then you walk from the visitor center to the house, and that's
not
a short,
it's not a short walk.
No.
So that shows you how people really are.
People have been waiting for this for a long time. They're not going to let a little rain get in their way, I don't think.
And our staff are troopers. Our guides are wonderful. I mean, they give wonderful tours, lots of correct information, you know, and they take people through the house, and they invite people to touch things, to sit on chairs, and tell that wonderful story about the Washington period.
Well, to see the house, and again, I have not seen it yet with the furniture in it, but I know people, I see people posting things on Facebook or talking about it, and people really like to go there and see it more and more. And I mean, you've just the fact that, you know, you had all those tours on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We are thrilled that the public is so excited about it. I think the local community has been so invested in Ferry Farm and saving Ferry Farm in the beginning, and then, you know, sticking with us through the archaeological dig, the finding of the Washington House, the, you know, 2-year effort to actually reconstruct the house. So I feel like it's been almost a community project.
It really has.
I think this is sort of the reward for everybody that stuck there with us through all of that. And I'm really glad that everybody's so excited about it.
Well, Megan, in your case, before there was Ferry Farm, there was historic Kenmore.
Before
and that's
there
when
was
I,
Ferry Farm, there
I've
was
known
Kenmore.
You with all the work you did room to room at Kenmore.
Yeah. Huge project.
Yeah.
And it's we've sort of been saying that the refurnishing project, well, the 10-year-long restoration of Kenmore followed by the 5-6-year-long refurnishing project finally wrapped up last year. Although, to be perfectly honest, we will always be changing things and updating things at Kenmore, so it's probably never going to be done. But it's significantly complete at this point, I guess you could say.
Did you know, so I guess right now a lot of your time has shifted from Kenmore to Ferry Farm.
Yes. In the last year or so, I would say the bulk of my time has switched from Kenmore to Ferry Farm. And I think slowly over the next year, it'll kind of even out so that I'm back
involved
to being,
in both.
Exactly. Ferry Farm has just needed a lot of attention last year.
has that been, as far as what you do and kind of recalibrating yourself, if you had to do that a little bit? I mean, you're dealing with the same family in the same time, but it's different locations.
It's two different locations. It's two different styles of living, of two different styles of house. And actually, it's not a huge difference in time period. We're still talking about the 18th century, but that 50-year time period between when the Washington House was built and when Kenmore came into existence, actually, there were a lot of changes in colonial America at the time. And it's been really interesting because I did have to learn a lot of new things about the Washington time period, that very early 18th century lifestyle, what life was like in Virginia before Fredericksburg was barely a speck on the map. Things were very different around here, just that 40, 50 year time period, just a little bit earlier in the century. It made a big difference. So that you did sort of have to recalibrate your thinking and your research.
And the two houses are so different.
They are pretty different. Yes. I think anybody coming to visit the sites, don't assume that because you've seen one, you know what you'd get at the other site. They're two very, very different experiences. The Washington House is probably the best word to use, and this isn't quite exactly right, but almost a primitive style of life compared mm-hmm. to what was happening at Kenmore.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no decorative plaster work. There were no carpets on the floors. There were, no grand luxuries the way there were at Kenmore, the sort of awe-inspiring architectural masterpiece. The Washington House was a very simple farm life. It was still probably the nicest house in the county at the time, but you can see such a difference in the way people lived between the Washington House and between Kenmore. It really changed dramatically.
And we encourage our visitors to visit both sites because it's really important to do that. You get the complete... Yeah.
The beginning of the story and the end of the story.
We have combo tickets, and so that we really encourage our visitors to take the time to go to both sites.
Yeah, no, that's it's the family story. But like you said, I'd never really thought of it that much. But those two sites, there's not the, you don't go into the Washington House and look at the ceiling.
No.
Like you do at Kenmore.
No, there's it's very, very different. And it's a smaller house, obviously. The rooms are much more intimate, and of course, when we get into the colder weather and we have fires in the fireplaces and the candles lit, there's going to be a very sort of cozy, warm, intimate feel to it that I think is going to be a really different experience than Kenmore, which is sort of this grand, palatial, commodious house that is. You walk into the rooms and you look up.
Yeah.
It's a very different experience.
And you assume that their life was perfect because they lived in this beautifully mm-hmm. decorated, but it wasn't. And it's all about challenges and overcoming challenges, just as it is at Ferry Farm and the stories about Mary as well as her daughter Betty. And both of them had to overcome adversity and to steer their family through hard times once their husbands died.
You mentioned, Megan, just a second ago, I hadn't even thought of it, of having a fire. Have you had fires at Ferry Farm
not
yet?
Not yet. We are going
but
to
we
be...
about it.
Yeah, we talk about it. We're going to be lighting a test fire one of these days to sort of practice, which sounds kind of silly, but being museum people, we don't use fire very often. So we want to make sure everything works perfectly before we start doing this on a daily basis.
We don't want an oops moment.
We don't want an oops moment. So we will be testing the fireplaces. Of course, these are brand new fireplaces. They've never had fires in them before. So we want to make sure the drafts and the air draw and everything work correctly. So we'll be doing that once the weather starts to get cooler at the end of the summer. And then throughout the winter, it'll be a daily occurrence.
Well, I know one of the great things about Kenmore is, and I'm hoping this is the year I get to do it, at Christmas time when you have the candlelight programs at Kenmore.
Yeah.
And how people say that it gives you a whole different view.
Whole different view of Kenmore when you see it at night by candlelight. It's and I should mention they're not real candles at Kenmore. They're battery operated, but they're very realistic battery operated candles, but still it offers you that sort of glow in the rooms, which is actually how the rooms were meant to be seen. Obviously in the 18th century, they didn't have electric lights. So when they decorated the rooms, they were meant to be seen in low light. And you really get the full effect when you see it during the candlelight tours.
Now, I think what adds to the magic of that is when you see the rooms populated with people and you hear their stories. And everything comes from documentation, and so I think that adds to the magic of Kenmore.
Boy, and especially at Kenmore, you just think of the conversations that would have happened in that house.
Yes.
Because I think of that when you go to Monticello or you go to any of the houses, and you just think that there were things that we read about in books as history. This was all talked about there
exactly.
in real time.
Exactly.
And actual feelings. You know, a lot of times when you read things, you don't get that emotion that's there. Many of our scenes, some people tear up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they do. So I think that's important.
And that'll be the kind of thing you can recreate at Ferry Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of thing. And especially if you've got a real-life fire going there, well, then that's lighting the room.
Exactly. Alma and her team have all sorts of plans
for
all of the theatrics that we're going to do at Ferry Farm. It'll be exciting.
Alma, you've always had plans, and now you've got a sandbox to play with all your plans.
And the scripts that we've developed through the years, and Zach, one of our staff members, who's just getting better and better at writing the scripts, and we have a lot of stories to tell.
And you've done such a good job. I just think of some of those programs in the kind of the cramped room that you have in the visitor center. Now you can take those with all those terrific actors, and they can act them out in the real place.
Yes. In the place where they would have happened originally, which is kind of amazing.
More coming up. We're having a fascinating discussion here. Ferry Farm and Historic Kenmore are focused this morning. Alma Withers here. Megan Buttinger is here. There are some there's a history camp and Shakespeare on the Lawn and some things going on that we're going to also talk about this morning. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ferry Farm and Historic Kenmore are focused this morning with Megan Buttinger. She is the curator of those sites, and Alma Withers is the education director. Lots of stuff going on this summer at both places, and we're going to do, when we get closer to the event, we're going to do a show on 4th of July, Alma, but just to kind of whet people's appetites, I mean, 4th of July is a big deal at Ferry Farm, and especially this year, the house was there last year, but this year we're going to really be able to. You're really going to be able to use it.
Well, you know, our world has changed because we have the house, and so our activities will change. You know, we will. Before we would do certain things, and now we're going to focus on the house. We'll have tours of the house. We'll have living history. We will have the signing Declaration of Independence, which is very important for that day. We'll have a focus on civility, the rules of civility. So we will have that's something new this year. And I've always said it's for everyone in the family. So, you know, when you have the 2-year-old can play in the sandbox and the grandparents can just sit and enjoy the beautiful scenery, and we'll be doing living history, we'll be doing some of our vignettes as well. So it's always an exciting day for everyone.
And like you say, it's something all the things that you come to expect if 4th of July at Ferry Farm are still there.
Yes.
But this year you add the house, and that's a big thing. That's really something that I think everybody remembers, and especially if you've got people from out of town.
Right.
To be able to go to Ferry Farm and say, I was at George Washington's birth, you know, or his childhood home on 4th of July is something that not anybody else can say.
And you can come and stay all day. We'll have food trucks there. The archaeologists will be there on site to interpret what they're doing, because the archaeology continues. You know, the archaeologists are adding to the story every day. So that will be an exciting thing too.
And we get closer. We're end of the month. We're going to talk more about Ferry Farm and 4th of July. We will do that, and we always have a presence there on 4th of July, and it's a great day. But you should think now, when you're thinking about what do we want to do for Independence Day,
go there. That's the place to be.
And 4th of July this year, is it on a Tuesday?
It's a Wednesday.
Okay, I was trying to think. Is it a Tuesday? Okay, it's Wednesday this year. So,
I mean, really, when you think about it, that is where Independence grew up.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's always a great day, and we'll talk about it as we get closer. There is something going on starting this weekend, though, at Kenmore. This is an annual event at Kenmore,
it's our 15th year.
If you go by, I have not been by Kenmore in the last few days, but usually right around this time, the props start going up. And it's a Fred Franklin is always involved in this, and it is something that is really, really something.
And it's really entertaining. If you know, it's almost like Shakespeare light. Mm-hmm. I mean, he condenses it. The actors are very good. There's always that spark of humor and delight. And this year we're doing As You Like It, and it's about people being banished from court and going into the woods and establishing a life The grounds of Kenmore become the woods of Arden, so we've set it the stage so the trees and landscape become the woods of Arden. So it's a different way to look at it, and so we're excited about that.
This is I don't know how many years now this has been done.
It's 15th, I think.
Okay, yeah, no, it's a
tradition.
Big deal.
And it started when I first came to the foundation. We did a project called the George Washington Fellows, and we had a team of two teachers from local schools, and they submitted projects. And they worked on the projects for 2 years, and some of the things that we do came out of those projects. And Fred Franklin and Tom Clark, drama teachers in Stafford County, their project was on Colonial Theater. And so out of that, Tom did a production with one of our first productions was down at Hurricane Park. And out of that, it grew into Shakespeare on the Lawn, and it's become part of the rhythm of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different rhythms, and so it's something that people. It's a family friendly outdoor setting. Even if it rains, we move inside, and some people prefer it to be inside than outside. So, which is interesting. So, a lot of local actors, combination of high school and college and professionals. So it's always a good experience.
Well, and I like you described it as Shakespeare light, because it's not as though you're going to this serious
four or five hours of Shakespeare.
But it gives you a taste of Shakespeare, and it's fun. That's the best way to put it. When you said family friendly, because you would tend to think, well, my kids are not going to want to. You know, if I've got little kids, or even if I've got teenagers, if I go, we're going to go see Shakespeare tonight, kids. I'm not feeling good. You know, kinds of things. But this is not anything like that.
No, when families come, they spread out a blanket and they
have their picnic,
mm-hmm. and the children can get up and move around. But usually they're very attentive.
Yeah, no, and it's a great way to get people to a site. It's kind of what you've done over the years with when we talked about Zach and the people that are involved at Ferry Farm with doing some of these little skits.
Right.
You're getting some history and then some.
Yes.
It's
yes.
fun. It's just yes. nobody's taking themselves too seriously, but
right.
you're telling a factually accurate story.
Yes. And, you know, learning can be fun. Mm-hmm. Right?
We're trying to do that every day.
Learning can be fun.
Well, and that's what, with whether it's what you do or the Park Service does, it gets everyone to relate. And it makes history so different than when we all were in school.
I think that's such an important thing. That really Ferry Farm is going to help us express a lot, and Kenmore hopefully has been doing for a few years now, that you know, history is real people and real life and real situations that are very similar to things that we all
yes.
do
human
every
emotion.
Day. and helping people understand that and relate to that, I think, is a huge part of learning your history. It's not just memorizing dates and facts. It's relating.
What? I'm sorry. I was just remembering we were doing Twelfth Night, and in the scene, and one of the actors was really, it was a sad time. I forget what part of it was. And there was this little five-year-old boy that was there with his family, and the actor was just so distraught. And the little boy comes from behind his father, and he reaches over and pats the actor and says, "It's going to be okay."
Oh, that's fantastic. That would have been great to see. For Shakespeare on the Lawn, do you need to get tickets in advance for that,
or you can just
walk up and do it that way?
Right. It's $10 for adults, $5 for students.
And it's this Friday? Is this Saturday and Sunday?
And next Saturday and Sunday. Lewis Insurance has been very generous to support us these past years, and they're doing it again this year.
What time do they start each night?
We have tours of the mansion from 5:45 to 6:45, and the performance begins at 7. Usually lasts about an hour, hour and a half, or so. I mean, it's
And I will say, Megan, that the tours of Kenmore are a little bit. They're the tours that we've all come to expect. They're not the Fairy Farm tour where you can just put your hair down
and
relax.
Right. We do like to remind people that you can touch and interact with everything over at Fairy Farm, but we do still have real antique pieces in Kenmore, so it's a no touching tour of the more traditional variety.
there's still a rules. When we come back, I want to talk with you a little bit, Megan, about the blog that you've had. I mean, you had your history blog, which over the years when you were really involved at Kenmore was really fascinating. We're going to talk about that and some of the things you learned, and continue to talk about some things going on at Fairy Farm in Kenmore in the weeks ahead. Alma Withers, Megan Buttiger here with Fairy Farm and Historic Kenmore. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Megan Buttiger and Alma Withers here this morning. We're talking Fairy Farm and Historic Kenmore. Megan is the curator at both sites. Alma does the education. And Megan, when I first met you, I didn't know you did a blog.
Yeah.
And so I met you on a 4th of July.
That's right.
5 or 6 years ago, probably even more than that.
It's been seven years.
And we talked about your blog because I had just seen, and you were going, it was a fascinating blog where you went room to room as you were kind of peeling the layers back at Kenmore.
Yeah, that was a great blog. It's wrapped up now that the refurnishing process has pretty much come to an end, but it's still available on our website, so you can still go back and read through all of the entries. And yeah, it followed the refurnishing process room by room, year after year through the house, and it talked about all of the sort of forensic science that was done on the house and how we were using that information to figure out everything from carpets and window coverings to the upholstery on chairs to right down to what kind of dishes were on the table and what kind of utensils were being used. And I had a lot of fun doing that blog. It was just the project itself was so unique because it really was the combination of science and history, which doesn't happen a lot. Those aren't two subjects that intersect too often. And so it was a lot of fun because I was learning new things as I went along, and to be able to try to explain those to what's normally a history audience. Normally people who read the blogs from museums tend to be history buffs, and to try to introduce a whole other aspect of the job to them. It was a lot of fun. It was a good blog.
You were kind of like you were an inside archaeologist.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think Dave sort of said that a couple of times too. Dave Maraca, our chief archaeologist. Because yeah, it's sort of like you peel back the layers, literally sometimes on the walls, you know, wallpaper and paint and that sort of thing, to get them down to the bottom and see what was originally there when the house was originally built. And there are a lot of ways to do that, a lot of processes, a lot of consultants, a lot of scientists that came in to do mm-hmm. all sorts of different things that they'd never been asked to do in a historic house before. And as a result, when you walk into Kenmore, we feel pretty confident in saying that it looks like what the Lewis family saw when they moved in 1775. The colors are the same. The arrangement of the furniture is the same. The carpets are the same. It would be recognizable to them as their home.
Well, and you have the disadvantage. I mean, we learned a lot by what you did because there's not a lot written about Kenmore.
No, that's very mm-hmm. true. And it's sort of one of the very odd things about Kenmore that kind of amazed me when I started working here is there has never been a single contemporary written description of Kenmore that has surfaced in any archive or any library or any personal collection anywhere.
You would think somebody wrote a letter and
exactly. You would think some visitor to that house would have walked in and been so inspired by those ceilings that the first thing they would have done was written a letter to, you know, Aunt Susie in Missouri and said, yeah. You won't believe what I saw today and let me describe it to you in intimate detail. And I have no doubt that did happen, but those descriptions have never surfaced. We've never found one anywhere. It's sort of my holy grail. I hope one day mm-hmm. to locate a letter or a diary entry or something that describes it. But we were working from scratch. There was no description to tell us what the house looked like. At all. And so all of that science and that forensic investigation really was very important because we had nothing else to go on.
Well, and you did. You discovered some things and mm-hmm. You kind of had some groundbreaking things. They were maybe not the huge kind of things that they've discovered at Ferry Farm, but it was really interesting on a lot of different levels.
It was really interesting. And it always surprised me, amazed me, how the tiniest little thing could lead to these amazing, you know, discoveries. Like, for instance, in the dining room, I think probably anybody who's been to visit in recent years, the thing they are most inspired by is the amazing red carpet, patterned carpet that's on the floor in there. And prior to the restoration, we believe there was no carpeting anywhere in Kenmore. Because that wouldn't have been unusual, even in a gentry house in the late 18th century in America. It was too expensive. It was too hard to get. But during the restoration, they found in the last original floorboard in the dining room a series of little, look like Swiss cheese holes in the board. Turned out they were carpet tack holes. And there was still one teeny tiny little carpet tack embedded in one of those holes. And when it was pried out, it still actually had a few carpet fibers wrapped around it. And it was just enough material that you could put it under a microscope and determine that it was wool, it was carpet wool, that it dated from the late 18th century, and that it had been dyed red. And so we were able to take all of that information and postulate that there had indeed been a carpet there, and because of the location of the tack, that the carpet had been wall to wall, and obviously the color red had been in it. And the Grosvenor Wilton Carpet Company in Kidderminster, England, is still the same carpet company that was making carpets then. They've continued in business to the present day. They still maintain their 18th century carpet catalogs of patterns that were available to customers in their archive there. And we were able to take that information to them. And they were able to tell us that there had been three patterns available at the time that had that red color. And we were able to pick one of the three carpet patterns. So we have a 1 in 3 shot of having the right pattern on the floor in the Kenmore dining room. And all of that came from the teeniest, tiniest little carpet tack that was found in one old floorboard. So we went from thinking there was nothing in that room to knowing almost exactly what was in that room. And that's a pretty monumental research project that came from a very teeny tiny little clue.
And after all these years.
After all these years, that carve attack had survived. It was just sort of like it was there waiting for somebody to find it.
Yeah.
And even more amazing that those carved fibers had still stayed wrapped around that tack all of that time. And of course, you know, Kenmore has been through some horrendous moments in American history. The fact that the house itself survives is amazing. But the reason there was only one original floorboard left in the dining room was that the dining room in Kenmore had been used as the surgery after the battles of Fredericksburg during the Civil War. It had been a Union hospital. And the floor in the dining room was so damaged from what happens in a surgery that all of the flooring had to be ripped out following the war. So we were just lucky that there was this one board that was left, and it was in the doorway from the hall into the dining room. So it's like it was meant to be.
Yeah. No, and that you find it. You're more than an archaeologist. You're like archaeologist slash forensics. Yeah.
Not me specifically. I have to put all of the information together. But there are a lot of other people who actually do the finding and the analyzing. And, I mean, people who have been trained in chemistry and microscopic analysis mm-hmm. never worked in a historic house museum before, and suddenly they were asked to do some very interesting things.
It's like the FBI lab.
We had our own little FBI lab going at Kenmore there, and I'm sure they found it just as interesting as everybody else did.
Well, and again, it shows because we hear it all the time when we talk about the archaeology, about how Ferry Farm is really rewriting what we know about that period. And we know about the Washingtons. You did the same thing at Kenmore.
For the Lewises. Yeah. And for those people who'd not visited Kenmore in the last 8, 9, 10 years.
At least, yeah.
Come back.
It's a completely different place.
It's not the same. It's not the same place. So, you know, because so many people say, oh, I've been to Kenmore.
I've been there.
I've been there. Mm-hmm. But it's not. And we know so much more about the family. But we have a wonderful Civil War story to tell. And we have done that on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We tend to focus on the Lewis family, obviously, because that's the original history of the house. But like I said, Kenmore saw a lot of periods in American history. And so we have a fantastic Civil War story, much of which we've mm-hmm. really just uncovered in the last, you know, 7, 8 years,
right.
Things that we didn't originally know about what happened to the house during the war. And then, you know, there's a great story of the house during the World War II era as well.
Exactly.
That we've told on a couple of theatrical occasions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The story of Kenmore being the center of entertainment for troops headed to Europe. And the USO used the property as their party central.
Yeah. Set up a jukebox out front.
On the lawn.
On the lawn.
Had dances.
And had dances. Thousands and thousands of GIs came
30,000 GIs by the end of the war were entertained at Kenmore.
With really?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's Kenmore has great stories from all sorts of time periods. And so even if you've been there once, you should come back.
Yeah.
There's a lot more.
It really, really has changed.
It has changed a lot, just in a very short amount of time. So there for a while, I think just about every time you turned around, every month, there was something new happening at Kenmore, even if you were there a year ago.
Yeah,
it's
that's
still
true.
Different.
Yeah, so. That's true. You know, we're doing more living history now there. You know, we're taking advantage of the kitchen and cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's fun.
We're demonstrating how people would clean carpets.
You know, we
were beating carpets one day.
Yeah.
So it's it really is an exciting place.
Well, the interesting thing about what you both are doing at both sites, at both Ferry Farm and at Kenmore, like you said, there's Civil War. There are a lot of history just besides the Washingtons or the Lewises at those sites, and you're starting to tell those stories more and more.
Exactly. Now that we sort of have the heavy lifting of construction and renovation and restoration done, we finally have the stages to tell all of those stories. And there's a lot. And at Ferry Farm, too, which hopefully will become a key part of our interpretation in the coming years, is people have been living on that site, yes, on the Washington House site, since pre-European contact. You know, Native Americans, indigenous peoples have been living there for thousands of years. And that's a huge part of the archaeological finds on that site as well. Hmm. For whatever reason, and Dave Maraca tells a great story about why that piece of land is so important, so advantageous to live on, but it's attracted people for millennia.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Stafford and Fredericksburg have such strong ties going back. I mean, mm-hmm, it's, you know, families and it's, you know, it's to be able to have two sites like that are, mm-hmm, so important to both Stafford and to the city of Fredericksburg and the region, as a matter of fact. But
now, and we talk about all the time that the people who saved that site from development a few years ago, how important. At the time, it was just simply something we watched unfold. But now you, right, look back and you think that was really a momentous occasion.
It was.
And Miss Annie and those ladies that saved, mm-hmm, Kenmore in the 20s, you know, these, yeah, were determined women. And they were able to – and just Miss Annie and her mother are just such a strong, strong, strong story.
Yeah. No, you think of that story. You think of the people that didn't let the Mary Washington House, right, go to the
same people.
Oh, it was the same people. Okay.
Same group of women.
Same group of ladies.
Yeah.
What this area wouldn't have today if, mm-hmm, if certain things had happened.
It's, I mean, very
we
true.
Would really be We wouldn't be having the same conversation.
No,
today.
We wouldn't. No, we wouldn't.
We'd be just talking about that, you know, we'd be talking about Kenmore. If Kenmore had survived.
If it had survived, which was a big question in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, Ms. Annie's legacy, because through the years there have been various attempts at saving Ferry Farm. And Ms. Annie, you know, her presence, but to think that the regents, those same women who worked to save Kenmore, stepped in and saved Ferry Farm.
Wow, yeah. Boy, this...
It's that spirit.
Yeah, no, this area owes them, you mean, the history that would have been lost, and we would have just said, well, that's where it was, and, mm-hmm, now there's a shopping center there, or there's whatever is there. In Kenmore's case, it would have just probably been part of...
It'd been an apartment, but more...
Apartment building. Was the plan for, wow, Kenmore. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it would have been a very different town.
Yes, it would have been.
Have.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The history and just the amount of money that comes into this area because of history.
I think it adds to that flavor of what makes this such a wonderful place to live, because it's that look at the historic resources that, mm-hmm, the citizens have, and I hope they take advantage of it.
Yeah. So if you haven't been to Kenmore.
Come
Get
back.
There. Come back. Come back. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to talk about History Camp coming up and a couple of other things with Megan Buttinger and Elma Withers this morning. Ferry Farm and Historic Kenmore. Our focus, Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.org. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Megan Buttinger, Alma Withers here from Ferry Farm in Historic Kenmore this morning as we talk about things going on. Before we get out of here, Alma, one of the other things that we want to mention, Shakespeare on the Lawn is taking place this Saturday and Sunday and next Saturday and Sunday, 7 o'clock. It's Fred Franklin and a host
of
characters.
The Rude Mechanicals.
The Rude Mechanicals and Shakespeare Light is how,
yes,
you described it. And,
yes,
that's a great way to describe it. For that. So Shakespeare on the Lawn over at Kenmore. And we've talked about going to Kenmore. So if you haven't been there this weekend before
Good time to do it.
And you might get some gingerbread and tea. We're serving,
okay,
gingerbread again. So.
Okay. There's the History Camp end of the month at Ferry Farm. Isn't it the end of June?
Yeah. What makes this so special is that there are 50, we have around 50 children. We divide them into into five groups, and it's they go to the Mary Washington House one day, they go to the Apothecary one day, they go to the Rising Sun one day, they go to Kenmore one day, they go to Ferry Farm. So each day they visit a historic site, and each site does something a little bit different, and it's a great experience. You know, it's for children who love history. You know, you see, you know, the kids who like soccer, like, you know, they mm-hmm. have camps. Well, this is a camp for kids who like history.
Oh, that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's really a great way.
And we have kids come back. We have some children. One year we had a grandchild come from California, stayed with the grandparents all week and went to history camp in the morning.
Are there still openings?
Yes.
People can sign up?
Yes.
And what are the ages?
Eight or nine to 12.
Check out the website.
Yes.
There's information. But that starts June 25th, I think.
Yes. Yes.
And what a great idea to be able to do that especially if you want to have kids, if you're a grandparent and you like you have
yes.
grandchildren from out of town, have them come and do something that you know. Ferry Farm and what we've got to offer here is pretty unique.
It is. It is. And this year at Ferry Farm, of course, because we have the house, mm-hmm. you know, there'll be some interesting things to do as well.
Okay. So check out History Camp. Check out Shakespeare on the Lawn. Any other events? And then we're going to talk. We're going to do a show closer to at the end of the month about 4th of July. So
well,
those
we,
are the big things.
Yeah. We have archaeology camps, one in July for ages 9 to 12. And then we do on August 2nd, a one-day archaeology camp, which is popular.
Okay. And we'll talk about those again when you all return. Still ordering furniture, and are you waiting for furniture at
yes.
Ferry Farm?
So the next big delivery coming, this will be very exciting because it's a big one, is the big formal bedstead with all of the beautiful bed curtains and quilts on it is being delivered in July.
Ooh.
So visitors will want to come see that at Ferry Farm.
Oh,
it's essentially Mary Washington's bed.
Okay. Wow. So
yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. But pretty much every month for the next year, there'll be a new piece or several new pieces
okay.
of furniture delivered.
Okay.
The bed is the next big one.
Again, History Camp, Shakespeare on the Lawn. There's archaeology camps, and the house is open. Yeah, I know you've had school groups go through.
Oh,
and
my goodness. A lot of school groups. Almost every day. Mm. Almost every day.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming. And,
you're welcome. Thank you.
We will talk again about 4th of July at Ferry Farm and just a preview. I will be there on our sister station, B101.5, on 4th of July for a couple of hours and talking
it's
to you all
fun.
Again. But we will do that again. Alma Withers, Megan Buttiger with Ferry Farm and Historic Kenmore. Maybe next time Dave Maraca will remember and join us. Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. That's it. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.